Welcome to the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com, your daily morning podcast, updating you on everything you need to know to win your fantasy baseball league. Here's your host, Jake Crumpler.
What's up, fantasy managers? Welcome back to another episode of the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. My name is Jake Crumpler, and as always, I'll be your host for this edition of the pod. You can follow me on socials at Jake Crumpler and can find all of my work at CrumplerBaseball.com. Let's dive into everything baseball related from Wednesday, July 1st. We'll start it off, as always, with the transactions, injuries, news, and notes from around the league, kicking things off with the bad news as shortstop Corey Seager was placed on the 10-day IL with lower back inflammation. This is the second time that Seager has headed to the IL with a back injury this year. So let's hope he's not on the IL for a while. Sometimes when players have a recurring injury, the second or even third time that they hit the IL, they'll likely spend more time there. Luckily, Seager has the All-Star break to work with, so hopefully he's back to full strength when he returns. He has not been at full strength all year based on his results. Second baseman Josh Smith was recalled for the minors in a corresponding move, but Nicky Lopez will be the Rangers' everyday shortstop until Seager returns. Next, we have reliever Will Vest, who was placed on the 15-day IL with elbow inflammation. Reliever Bo Brieski was recalled from the minors in a corresponding move. And next, starting pitcher Connelly Early was placed on the 15-day IL with elbow inflammation. Early will undergo further imaging to determine the severity of the injury. And apparently, the imaging actually did not reveal any damage to the ligaments, just some inflammation on the back of the elbow. So Early shouldn't miss much more than the minimum time, which is great news for the southpaw on the Red Sox. Reliever Giovanni Moran was activated from the 15-day IL in a corresponding move after missing a little under a month with elbow inflammation. Next, reliever Connor Siebold was placed on the 15-day IL with a lat strain. Reliever Randy Dobnak was recalled from the minors in a corresponding move. And lastly, third baseman Matt Chapman was placed on the 10-day IL with an abdominal strain. Chapman will likely be held out through the All-Star break, but it doesn't seem to be a severe injury, so we should get Chapman back in just a couple of weeks. Second baseman Christian Koss was recalled from the minors in a corresponding move, but Casey Schmidt will take over for Chapman at the hot corner, allowing Jung-Hoo Lee to move over to right field, opening up center field for a platoon between Drew Gilbert and Jonah Cox. In terms of transactions, starting pitcher Noah Schultz was activated from the 15-day IL after missing over a month with patellar tendonitis. Schultz started in Baltimore, tossing 4 1/3 innings, allowing 2 hits and 3 earned runs, walking 4 while striking out 7, inducing 14 whiffs with 31% CSW across 87 pitches. And Schultz was actually fully stretched out in his return from the IL. He was just really inefficient as he issued 4 walks due to 44% strikes on sinkers and was unable to finish the 5th frame. Though I was happy to see the rest of Schultz's offerings look pretty good. His command was decent on some of the pitches, not as great on others, but overall the success and his ability to earn strikes on all of them was pretty definitely I'm glad that it went the way that it was. It was promising. And I'm down to roll with Schultz in leagues where I'm desperate for pitching. Reliever Tyler Schweitzer was optioned to the minors in a corresponding move. And opposite Schultz, we had another IL returnee as Dean Kramer was activated from the 60-day IL after missing more than 2 months with a quad strain. He started versus the White Sox, tossing 6 innings, allowing 4 hits with 1 earned run, 1 walk, and 4 strikeouts, inducing 8 whiffs with 29% CSW across 79 pitches. And Kramer thrived prior to the injury with an exceptional feel for his splitter. That splitter returned just 48% strikes here, and I don't think the rest of his stuff is that good, and definitely not good enough to make him more than a Toby, which is what he's been in years past. We've called him Dean Werewolf. I think that's a play. Nick's been doing a play on Teen Wolf there, where he is a werewolf where every blue moon he has a really great start, but most of the time, or every full moon, but most of the time, Kramer is somebody who's a bit underwhelming. If he can get that splitter back, if he can regain the feel for the splitter, then we could see Kramer show a ceiling that's more consistent, but I don't think he's somebody that you need to go and grab off of the wire unless you're in deeper leagues. Starting pitcher Trey Gibson was optioned to the minors in a corresponding move. And in terms of news, starter Christian Javier is expected to be activated from the 60-day IL tomorrow. He's missed more than 2 months with a shoulder strain. He's been out since April 8th with that shoulder strain. And the Astros announced that Javier will pitch out of the bullpen for now, but I do expect the Astros will eventually go to a six-man rotation or take somebody out of the rotation because Javier deserves to have another opportunity in there. In the past, he has proven to have a ceiling and have potential that at one point made him a like wide awake dark horse candidate for the Cy Young Award a few years back. So there's definitely still some potential in Javier. I'm excited to see what he looks like out of the bullpen. Now we can take a look at some notable performances from Wednesday, a day in which we had 14 games on the slate. We'll start it off with our hitters, leading off with third baseman Junior Caminero, and another day, another Caminero home run. He helped the Royals to win in Kansas City, going 1-for-4 with a run, a home run, and two runs batted in. It was his 24th of the year, and it traveled 425 feet at 105 miles per hour. It's getting just to be a daily activity now for Caminero, where you can just wake up or before you go to bed, check your phone, and you can be pretty guaranteed that Caminero has gone deep. That's six straight days with a home run and eight home runs in his last seven games. Pretty incredible from Caminero. He's now fifth in baseball with those 24 home runs. And maybe more impressively, Caminero's 944 OPS is the third best mark in baseball. Next, catcher Hunter Goodman continues his power streak as he helped the Rockies to win against the Marlins, going 1-for-4 with a run, a home run, and two runs batted in. It was his 27th home run of the year, and it traveled 403 feet at 104 miles per hour. I thought it was impressive when Goodman hit 31 home runs last year, but we're at 27 home runs. We haven't even hit the All-Star break. Incredible power production from Hunter Goodman. He's now second, standing alone, second in baseball in home runs with 27. And after leading MLB with 12 home runs in June, the calendar flip has not slowed him down at all as he opened July with another home run. And another guy who has been on a crazy power streak recently as well, shortstop Dansby Swanson helped the Cubs to win against the Padres, going 3-for-4 with four runs, three home runs, and eight runs batted in. He's up to 16 homers now. The first one went 397 feet at 103 miles per hour. Second one, 434 feet at 104 miles per hour. And the third one, 387 feet at 93 miles per hour. Swanson is on one of the weirdest hot streaks I've ever seen. From May through mid-June, he batted 145 with just one homer and a 26 WRC plus. He looked absolutely terrible, terrible production. He looked washed, but then he hit a homer and he took a couple days off and had an insane series in Queens. This was a little over a week ago as he hit three homers with seven hits and 15 RBI in three games. Then he quieted down again with four straight hitless games against the Brewers before waking back up once again against the Padres as he went 2-for-4. Then he belted two home runs on Tuesday before going deep three times yesterday. So since that ultra cold 1.5 month long streak from Swanson, he's batted 365 with nine homers and a 264 WRC plus across his last, I think it's, let's see, do the math, 8, 3, 4, that's 15 across his last 15 games, 365, nine homers and a 264 WRC plus. I think it's a top three mark in baseball, trailing only Caminero and Luis Garcia Jr. in that time. Just absolutely insane production from Dansby Swanson. The only knock against him is the 210 batting average he has for the season, but he's clearly proven to be worth rostering in all fantasy leagues. 16 homers, 10 steals. It just needs to get that batting average up. But like I said, he's batting 365 in the past two plus weeks. So definitely go pick him up everywhere. I just spent a pretty penny on him in the pitcherless staff league. So hopefully he helps me avoid getting relegated this year. And lastly, outfielder Michael Conforto also helped the Cubs to win against the Padres, going 3-for-4 with four runs, two home runs, four RBIs, and a walk for good measure. He's up to seven homers. The first one went 433 feet at 103 miles per hour, and the second one went 384 feet at 106 miles per hour. The Cubs, as an offense, had a huge game, scoring 23 runs yesterday and hitting eight home runs. Conforto accounted for two of those dingers, continuing what has been an under-the-radar bounce-back campaign. He had his worst offensive season with the Dodgers last year, batting under 200 with an 83 WRC plus, but the Cubs have unlocked Conforto's bat by getting him to lift the ball more. He has a career high fly ball rate, a career low ground ball rate, and he's also pulling the ball more than ever, allowing him to maximize his power. Just seven homers, but the OPS is much improved, 847 OPS on the season for Conforto. He also looks to have improved the power, his ability to hit the ball hard via a career high 93 mile per hour average exit velocity and a 15% barrel rate. Conforto might be selling out for power as he's striking out at a career high 29% rate, but he's made up for that by walking more at 13%, and will certainly take the results as his 132 WRC plus is his best mark since 2020. And if we discount that because of the small sample, this is Conforto's best season since 2017, according to WRC plus. He doesn't need to be rostered everywhere, probably very awesome in NL only leagues, but he's a great streamer against right-handed pitchers in daily leagues. But if you'd like a breakdown of other notable hitting performances from Wednesday, check out the Daily Batters Box article over on pitcherlist.com. Now we'll head to the mound and check out some notable starting pitching performances, opening with Zach Wheeler, who helped the Phillies to win against the Pirates, tossing 4 2/3 innings, allowing 9 hits, 4 earned runs, 1 walk, but he struck out 10 with 22 whiffs across with 31% CSW across 104 pitches. And Wheeler earned the gallows pole by leading baseball with those 22 whiffs. He had his entire pitch mix cooking, and I loved his feel for jamming right-handed batters with sinkers and getting four-seamers upstairs with breakers low. Unfortunately, Wheeler got ridiculously singled out with a 667 BABIP. He deserved the solo shot he gave up, but 8 singles on 12 balls in play is messed up. That's unfair. Luckily, Wheeler salvaged the start with a season-high 10 strikeouts, and that's exactly what aces do. They'll salvage a start even when they're not at their best or when the luck isn't going their way. And looking back, anyone who took the risk of drafting Wheeler at the beginning of the season when he was still injured and we didn't know when he was going to return, you got to feel amazing. He's missed about 4 starts, maybe 5 if you're being generous, and he's produced a 2.36 ERA, 0.94 WHIP, and a 27% strikeout rate across 13 starts, and he's also got 8 wins with just 1 loss during that time. Those are ace numbers from Zach Wheeler. Next, we have Shane Drohan, who helped the Brewers to win against the Reds, tossing 5 2/3 innings, allowing 6 hits and 2 earned runs, walking 1 while fanning 7. He induced 17 whiffs with 41% CSW across 78 pitches, and Drohan earned the King Cole as he led baseball with 41% CSW on Wednesday. The Reds, who Drohan was facing, have struggled with high heaters recently, so Drohan pumped a bunch of four-seamers upstairs, and he benefited massively, inducing 9 whiffs with 38% CSW on the pitch, and they paired exceptionally with low breakers, earning 5 whiffs and 45% CSW. And honestly, this is the best we've seen from Drohan, and I'm down to trust him while he's in the Brewers rotation. He might not be in it for long with Logan Henderson returning in the next couple of weeks, but since the Brewers are letting Drohan exceed 90 pitches with just 78 pitches here, but we've seen him exceed 90 pitches in the past, I'm down to trust him as he heads to St. Louis next. And lastly, we have Taj Bradley, who helped the Twins to win in Houston, tossing 5 innings, allowing 4 hits and 1 run, walking 3 while fanning 11. He induced 10 whiffs with 30% CSW across 97 pitches. And Bradley is on a hot streak right now, taking advantage of a cushy schedule. He showcased his highest velocity yesterday, sitting 98 miles per hour with 4 seamers. And with the extra velocity, Bradley wasn't afraid to fill up the zone, and it worked as 4 seamers, cutters, and splitters combined for 67% strikes. And as long as that trio is each eclipsing 60% strikes, he's going to be pretty good. He's going to avoid walks. He's going to live in the zone, and he throws hard enough and his stuff is good enough that as long as he's throwing strikes, he's going to do well. But I wouldn't expect many more double digit strikeout outings like this one. Rarely do you see strikeouts exceed whiff totals. 11 Ks here from Bradley on just 10 whiffs, and he was lucky to be so efficient in 2 strike counts with a 65% put away rate that we can't expect to stick around moving forward. Let's keep starting him though while his control is intact. He gets the Guardians next, and that should be pretty chill. But if you'd like a breakdown of every single start from Wednesday, give the Plus Pitch podcast a listen and check out Nick's daily SP roundup over on pitcherlist.com. Now we'll head to the bullpen and check out the relievers that got saves and the closers that pitched outside of save situations or blew their saves. Starting with the former, Caleb Killian pitched a perfect ninth for his 7th save. Jordan Wicks had a 3-inning save, his 2nd of the year. Patrick Corbin outdid him with a 5-inning save, his 1st of the year. Kevin Kelly had a scoreless 4-out save, his 4th save of the year. Brian Baker didn't get a chance here because he wouldn't have had a save opportunity with a 4-run lead. So the Rays just rode Kelly through the finish line. And I think this was a luck of the official score, just giving Kelly the save here because it was not a technical save opportunity. Trevor McGill pitched a scoreless ninth for his 12th save, and Brandon Bernardino recorded his first save with a perfect ninth. In terms of closers to pitch outside of save situations or blow their saves, Yoan Duran pitched a scoreless ninth up by four after the Phillies tacked on two insurance runs in the eighth to ruin his save chance. Raisel Iglesias did the same, pitching a perfect ninth up by four after the Braves tacked on three insurance runs in the eighth to ruin his save chance. Yoandrys Gomez pitched a scoreless ninth up by five. The Twins are off today, so they were just making sure they won that game. And lastly, Emilio Pagan got the final out of the eighth with the Reds down by two. And I guess the Reds just wanted to get Pagan some work after he came off the IL. But if you'd like more information on relief pitchers, check out Rick Graham's daily articles over on pitcherlist.com. And before we look forward to today's games, we're going to take a quick break. Now we'll look forward to Thursday, July 2nd, a day in which we'll have just nine games on the slate. My matchup of the day is Chase Burns versus Jacob Mizorowski, one of the best pitching matchups you'll see all year. The number one pitcher in baseball versus debatably top five starting pitcher right now. Chase Burns has been incredible. Mizorowski's been incredible. We're going to see a lot of that fastball velocity, a lot of just insane four-seamers, some great sliders. It should be a great matchup, especially because it's got some divisional rivalry as well. In terms of probable starters, we've got four guys in the auto starts tier, including Burns and Mizorowski. We've also got Bryce Miller versus the Angels and Nathan Eovaldi versus the Tigers. Our probably starts tier has three guys, and our questionable starts tier has six, and that's where we'll find our streamer of the day in Stephen Kolek versus the Rays. He got blown up last time out, but he's proven to be a Toby that we can rely on. He's proven to have a ceiling too that's worth chasing beyond what you normally expect from a Toby. I think he's going to get right back on track in this next start, but it was the Rays that blew him up last time. I'd also keep an eye out for Ian Seymour in Kansas City opposite Stephen Kolek. Seymour just absolutely obliterated the Royals last time out. The Royals lineup is still diminished without Michael Garcia and Vinny Pasquantino, and I like what Seymour's doing with his four-seam fastball and changeup approach that I think he's going to do pretty well here in Kansas City. In terms of hitter suggestions, I'd look at Marlins and Rockies hitters in Coors Field. Best hitters park in baseball. See Ryan Gusto square off against Michael Lorenzen and his 6.83 ERA. And lastly, we'll close things out with our relievers to watch as Raisel Iglesias has pitched on back-to-back day. So expect Dylan Lee to be the top option for a save out of the Braves bullpen on Thursday. But that'll do it for today's episode of the First Pitch Podcast. Make sure to head on over to pitcherlist.com to check out all of the great articles and features we have on the site. Sign up for PL Plus or PL Pro to gain access to the Discord and to support the Pitcher List staff. You can follow me on socials at Jake Crumpler, where I do daily SP streamers and I break down every single start via the Pitcher List stats player cards. Tune into YouTube tomorrow and every day for a new installment of the podcast. Carson Pickard will be with you tomorrow and throughout the weekend. And make sure to enjoy the day as we are blessed with another day of baseball.
This has been the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. If you enjoyed today's episode, rate us on iTunes, follow us on Twitter at PitcherList, and help support what we do by joining our Discord with PitcherList Plus at PitcherList.com/plus.